I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
So, Eric, we are starting this podcast. You're a year older this week.
That is so true. I won't say how many years older. Well, I guess I'm always going to be 1 year older, but I won't say how many years total. We'll just leave that off. But I did post an Instagram post recently that does reveal the age. So check it out if you want to.
I don't even know if you're at the age where you should be like secretive about it. I mean, I'll let you have this, but I just think you're going to offend a lot of people.
Right. No, it's so true. But it's also one of those like in betweens. Like it's not a big milestone year. You know, it's just kind of the ones that are in between the big ones. You know, I feel like the zeros and fives are always the ones that you want to make a big deal out of. So the ones in between, you're like, whatever.
Totally. So I think to celebrate your birthday that happened last week, we should talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta Reunion Part 3.
Oh, absolutely. That bitch Yovana.
Plus, we got two girls' trips on Real Housewives. So Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, we go to Santa Barbara, and Real Housewives in New York City, Newport.
And we have interviews with Jasmine Johnson from Married to Medicine LA, who I had to ask how she exhibits such self-control when it comes to food and fitness. And Danica Dow from Vanderpump Rules, who we've talked a lot about being quite a feisty character this season. So we actually played a really fun little game, too, that you guys will hear.
And then we'll wrap things up with Rose and Thorne.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a digital series that we've talked about on this show before, Life After Bravo, has new episodes out featuring Below Deck alums Nico from seasons 4 and 5 and Emily Warburton Adams.
Yes, and I'm so curious to listen to those and watch those because Emily dated Chef Ben for a year, and I'm so curious to know what that relationship was like.
Right?
Can you imagine?
No.
Okay, Real Housewives of Atlanta, Reunion Part 3. I think this was my favorite part.
Really? That's interesting. Why?
Well, I think the other parts of the reunions, and this happens often, they kind of just go back and rehash things and nothing really new comes out. There's not always new information in every part of a reunion. With this one, at least, you know, we'll get into it, whatever Yovana it is that she presented, at least there was something new for everyone to discuss. You know what I mean?
But I also was so confused. I still don't understand what she's saying. She's saying that Nene said, you need to record every conversation with the ladies.
She saw it as an opportunity for me to find out if anybody was talking shit about her. So at that time, I was like, okay, you know, that's innocent enough. If you want to find out people talking shit, I'm happy to tell you.
Yes, she's saying, less so, I think, record every conversation, but be my spy. Like, be the one to report back to me what everyone is talking about. It's like a spy. It's like a puppet situation. It's very shady, but do we trust Yovana at this point?
It's also like, I actually don't even think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, like, Nene came into this season having issues with everyone. So it kind of makes sense that she'd be like, can you let me know what they're saying about me? Because I need to know, right? But I think it's Yovana who it then becomes kind of questionable. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing agreeing to do that?
Well, definitely. And is that how you want to be known? If you're, you know, she made her splash last season. If she's trying to make a comeback this season, why would you do that? Why would you align yourself so much with one person and then try to build relationships with everybody when at the end of the day, it's revealed that she's kind of been, it was fake the whole time. You know, like, I don't understand why she would want that narrative for herself in the bigger picture.
Also, it just felt like they were saying that Nene must have been scared that Yovana was going to come on, and that's why she didn't want to face the cameras.
I don't think it was necessarily Nene being scared of what Yovana was about to bring, but more so being offended as, you know, this OG that she positions herself as, you know, almost the leader of the Atlanta ladies. Having someone like Yovana come in to sort of disrupt everything, I think that is what offended Nene more than anything, as opposed to what Yovana was going to say.
I also always wonder, okay, you know how attorney-client privilege? Well, Yovana's lawyer is Eva's husband, we found out, which I think just happened before the reunion.
Right.
Don't you definitely think Eva grills him for information?
Oh, I think so. I think for sure. It is interesting that, you know, that doesn't really mean that Eva's involved in the situation, but it does feel a little bit like not a partnership between Jovana and Eva to come after Nini, but I don't know. It's a little of all the lawyers in Atlanta, really.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think maybe that more than anything would really upset Nini.
Yeah. My other question too, going back to just the idea of a recording, why would Jovana need to record people if they are filming a reality show? Like, won't that just show up at some point anyway in the conversations Jovana has with people?
Well, so this is like an interesting thing that I feel like has come up before. It definitely happened on Real Housewives of Dallas. And I'm trying to think if it ever happened on a different franchise. But this idea that like, because remember, they caught Leanne filming the girls skinny dipping when they were
in
Iceland. And so everyone's like, how dare you secretly record us? And she's like, well, I wasn't secretly recording you. And also the film cameras are on. Yeah. But then their argument was, well, if the film cameras are on, why do you need to be doing it?
Right. Yes. I remember that. That was a whole thing.
So yeah, I guess it's something a little bit similar to that. Like you could kind of argue both sides pretty easily.
Yeah, that's true. And especially if they weren't filming and Jovana wanted to bring some kind of device, that'd be one thing. But yeah, if the cameras are rolling and the mics are on, there's been plenty of hot mic situations on this show.
I have a question. Have you ever secretly recorded someone?
No, I don't even think I would ever think to do that. I think nowadays I would be more apt to, if someone were to say something, I would like text it immediately to someone or myself, you know, or like send myself a reminder. But I don't think I would ever think to actually record somebody, because I do believe in New York State, as long as one person knows they're being recorded, you can record a conversation without alerting the other person. I forget if it's New York or California. It's one of the states that I've lived in. Don't ask why I know that information, but I do.
No, I think we all know that information because of the Kim Kardashian West and Taylor Swift debacle, remember?
That is true. So it must be true in California, right?
I don't remember because it was recorded in New York. Ugh.
Ah, see, there we go. Very tricky. Huh. Well, if there are any legal, you know, lawyers listening, anybody with that information, let us know so Megan and I can plan our, you know, future recordings of people.
Yeah.
Do you know what's funny is that you brought up Real Housewives of Dallas? There was another moment in this reunion that reminded me of Dallas. And it was when they were discussing Kenya bringing up Cynthia's wine knowledge and how Kenya, you know, did kind of own up to being like, well, at first it was a joke. And then I realized maybe I took it too far.
I agree with the viewers. It was a roast. It was a kiki at first. But at some point, I should have taken the cues of her being uncomfortable then, you know, just stopped. But I stand by the fact that it wasn't coming for her business.
It reminded me of Dallas this past season when Deandra and Carrie were like grilling Leanne at dinner when Deandra wore Leanne's dress. And at first they were, you know, quote unquote, being playful and whatever. And then they just took it too far and Leanne ended up getting really upset. And we all obviously know what came out of that fight that night. It just reminded me of that moment. Like, at what point is it a joke? At what point are you going too far? And, you know, what was your real intention going into that? So I just thought that that was kind of an interesting parallel.
And I think that anytime you're actually possibly affecting sales of someone's business, that's going too far. And, you know, as I've said, what was the point of Kenya doing that whole thing to Cynthia? Just to discredit her in her like role as wine expert for like, you know, it's just not okay.
Yeah. Another thing that reminded me of something that's going on Married to Medicine LA is this whole conversation about apologies and whether they're genuine, whether they're sincere. And the whole thing came up about when they were in Greece and Cynthia was like, hey, I would like Nini and Kenya to sit back, take a moment and have a conversation. And Kenya shut it down. And she says she shut it down because she knew whatever Nini was going to say to her would be fake.
Because, Andy, I know it was all fake and phony because of our history. And I can see a fake a mile away. So why should I accept an olive branch if it's covered in poison ivy?
But like, shouldn't you still hear somebody out and then decide after they have an apology or after they say their piece, then you can decide whether you believe it or not or accept it or not.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just interesting. The same thing is kind of happening on Married to Medicine LA with Jasmine and Dr. Amani. And last season, Dr. Amani said some things. Jasmine got upset. Dr. Amani apologized. And Jasmine was sort of like, I don't feel like your apology is sincere, so I do not accept it. And Dr. Amani was just like, okay, you know, I guess we can move on. And you'll actually hear in the interview later with Jasmine, we talk a little bit about that. And she kind of just talks about, you know, you kind of feel in the room, in the moment, you feel the energy that's coming from another person. And if you don't think it's sincere, then maybe it's not sincere. I don't know.
Can we talk about the fact that NeNe just fully did not show up at all in this part of the reunion?
I guess that's worth talking about. Yep, for sure. I mean, she just like never came back.
Here's what I want to know. So when Adrian Malouf didn't show up to the season 3 reunion of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and then Lisa Vanderpump, season 9, did not show up to the reunion, both times that was like ultimately, that was basically them saying, I'm not coming back to the show or being fired. So do you still not get to come back if you only missed part of the reunion?
I don't know, because then she accepted a phone call from Portia and sort of let Portia speak for her in terms of what was going on or whatever. I mean, I don't know.
That's just not okay. I really did not have respect for her in that moment.
Well, it does come down to the fans deserve this. The fans deserve the closure. They deserve to hear more from you. And you know NeNe prepared for this. She had her reads written out and ready to go. So did she just throw in the towel and was just like, I don't care anymore? Like, it just, like you said, it is a little disrespectful to her co-stars, to Andy, and then to the audience, who they want to hear what she has to say. They wouldn't be tuning in otherwise.
Yeah. Well, I am excited to see what happens from here.
Marlo better get a peach.
I know. Get on that campaign.
Speaking of Married to Medicine Los Angeles, I got a chance to interview one of my favorites, Jasmine Johnson. Of course, my first question was, how do you keep the body that you have, especially during quarantine? And we also talked a little bit about Dr. Amani and her husband being off in Oklahoma this season, and a little bit about her friendship with Shanique and whether she holds her to a higher standard than some of her other friends. Here's that interview. All right, guys, we are here with Jasmine Johnson from Married to Medicine LA. What's going on, Jasmine?
Nothing much, just quarantining.
Right? Well, okay, so I so admire your self-control when it comes to your diet. So can you please just walk us through what it is you eat in like a day?
Okay, so I eat about 5 to 6 meals a day, and I start my morning with either a protein shake or an egg white omelet. And after that, I like to go every 2 to 3 hours with a meal. So I'll go from breakfast, you know, to 2 to 3 hours later, and I'll have another meal. That meal will be pretty packed because I will probably have worked out already. And, you know, that will consist of maybe 6 ounces of chicken and some veggies like spinach or bell peppers. I love bell peppers. And then they're all pretty similar after that. I mean, I always build it around protein. So I have to get my protein in, and I'm always getting between 4 and 6 ounces.
Got it. Now, like, what does a cheat meal look like for you? Like, if you are like, I need to indulge for one moment, like, what would you pick?
To be honest, I like, okay, so if we're talking about dessert, I love the So Delicious. It's like made out of cashew milk. Those desserts. Mm-hmm. So they have like caramel infused chocolate covered ice cream pops. So I love those. But when it comes to food, I love fried chicken. I do.
What is the place in LA? What is the famous one in LA?
Oh, yes. Yes. Roscoe's. Absolutely. Roscoe's. And I've actually had, you know, we're on quarantine, so I will Postmate sometimes some Hot Wings Cafe.
Oh, okay, nice. Yes, right. I mean, this is the time to indulge. You know, it's quarantine. We deserve it. Now, being in lockdown the way that we are, how has your typical fitness routine changed?
Well, to be honest, I have had to kind of revert back to when I was doing bikini fitness competitions and like really just having this like lack of motivation to go hard, because it's a lot more challenging to, you know, be in your comfort zone, which is your home, but also like tune into that discipline and say, okay, I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to get off my couch, go downstairs and work out. You know, I think that even the most disciplined people, even when we have the opportunity, you know, to relax and stuff, we like that too. And so it's hard for us to just be in our comfort zone, but still also have to manage to go hard. It's a lot easier when you can just run to the gym, you know, leave everything at home and then just be in the gym and work out.
Yeah. Is your husband as into health and fitness as you are? Is it like very much a partnership?
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's actually how I was introduced to it, you know, to the extent of how I'm doing it. I was always an athlete, but once I met him, it was so heavily a part of his routine that it was like, okay, I'm either going to have to jump on the bandwagon, or these 1 to 2 hours a day that he's working out, what am I going to be doing? You know? And right. He was just very supportive. Obviously couples that work out together stay together. So in the beginning it did work for us, but then as I got my own, you know, interest and passion for it, I was like, okay, I don't want you to train me, I don't want you telling me how to work out, I want my own trainer, goodbye, you know?
Right.
So I've had my own trainer and nutritionist since then. And, you know, he respects that. But when we are on vacation, we work out together. That's like our little thing.
Now, when you guys are relaxing, chilling at night, does he watch the show with you?
Yes, sometimes, because Sundays are a busy day for the both of us. He has a lot of work to do on Sundays, like, you know, telemedicine and stuff. So we do that as much as we can. He loves it. He's like, oh my God, I'm like sitting in the house that's on TV. Wow, this is crazy. I'm like, really? He's kind of like starstruck, which is funny.
Right. Does he ever like feel like he's missing out by not being a part of it? Or is he almost more grateful when he sees some of the drama?
I would think that, you know, it's never been his thing. He never said, oh, I want to be on reality TV. Yeah. That he said, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a businessman. I want to be a father, a husband. And that's what he is. So I don't think he thinks he's missing out at all. I think that, you know, he enjoys seeing me flourish into who I'm becoming and, you know, have my own independence.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's just where he stands with things.
Right. I can totally imagine him being like, I am glad I am not a part of this.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure he's like, yeah, and that's why I'm not going to show up on the show.
Right.
Let's keep our fingers crossed about that.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit more about your business, the concierge business that you've been running.
So LS stands for the Lifestyle Concierge, and it is an entire brand. You know, I like to think of it as something that's not just our property, which is in the Hollywood Hills, or the exotic vehicles that we have for rent, but more so an entire lifestyle, because we are a concierge that can assist you with event planning, you know, every single thing you can think of, especially when you're on vacation or having a staycation in Los Angeles. We can assist you in building an experience, you know, because so many people come to LA and they don't know who to contact for this or where to go for that. And so we kind of just connect the dots and make it a seamless, unforgettable experience from start to finish, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, with everything that's going on, how has the business been affected by the current circumstances?
Well, initially, when COVID came about, we were booked and busy, and we had to deal with a lot of people canceling their reservation at the property because it wasn't ideal for them to come from Australia, or we had a lot of people coming from London that had booked the place, and they're like, hey, you know, with these travel bans, whatever, they're not able to come. And I totally, you know, refunded them, and Airbnb actually has a lot of incentives for both host and guest. So I did get a lot of cancellations, but now that we've been in it for a minute, I would say after 3 weeks, a lot of LA residents were just looking for some place to go outside of where they lived. Like, I got a lot of people from West Hollywood, like, hey, we're right around the corner, we just need some place to escape. And so they booked the property for a night, 2 nights. You know, it had a halt for 3 weeks, but we're back up and really busy, honestly.
That's great. I mean, it makes total sense, because I think staycations are going to probably increase so much more for people, because we can't really travel at the moment, but nobody wants to be stuck in their own house all day long. So why not just like pop over to somebody else's for a bit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that makes sense. Now, mm-hmm. Early on in the season, we saw, I think it was Quad who had some feedback for you in the house that the Married to Medicine Atlanta ladies stayed in. Did you take any of that into consideration?
Absolutely. As a professional, as a businesswoman, I would never, you know, refuse feedback because the customer is always right, you know, mm-hmm. whether there were trash cans and toothbrushes in there or not, I have to listen and I have to just, you know, lend an ear and listen to what she's saying because she had some solid points, you know, as far as, you know, bringing in some of the other tools that she was talking about. Of course, we're all about luxury. So I want to cover every single thing. So I appreciate her feedback. It was a little petty, but I'll appreciate it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, any feedback is good feedback. You know, constructive right. criticism, we'll call it, right?
Yes.
This season, Dr. Imani's husband is in Oklahoma. So when you first found out that information, what was your initial thought?
Well, you know, it takes me a second to put things together. But with the help of my friends, I was like, oh, you know what? That is just really crazy. That is just full circle, you know? I'm trying my best to put that comment behind us and just, you know, push forward. But when I heard that her husband was, you know, in Oklahoma and all of this new news, I was like, wow, welp. Everything that goes around comes around, so.
Right. Well, and I think you mean in relation to the nature of his business out there, right?
Yes.
You're like, yes, absolutely. Right. Okay. So then... Now, at the Haunted Hayride, you learned a little bit more about their relationship. And specifically, I think it was that they both forgot about their anniversary. And you were pretty surprised by that. So at that point, then, did you start to suspect anything more about their relationship?
Absolutely. I think I've always had just this, you know, I've always been questionable about it, to be honest, just because of the interactions that I've seen and the way that they go about things. But, you know, I give people the benefit of the doubt. And once I heard that they both forgot about their anniversaries, I mean, the first thing that came to my mind was like, wow, if my husband's away and we're kind of doing this, you know, from two different states, it would mean he would need to make sure that at least at minimum on our anniversary, you know, we have something special planned. Maybe we're going on a FaceTime date, you know, send me some flowers or a plant, you know, acknowledge that, wow, we're moving and we're progressing in our marriage, whether we're together or in different states.
Right, right. And I think the topic also came up that he doesn't sing to Imani. And it was like, well, I guess, you know, a long distance anniversary celebration could have at least been maybe a little song.
Oh, yes. That's super sexy. Okay. Yes. I wish I would have thought of that, but I heard that he doesn't like to sing to her. I'm like, Eric, I don't know how to sing. I sing to my husband all of the time. If
right?
I knew how to sing, if I had vocals, if I was in a music group, you better believe I would be singing all day. I would mess up. I would go do something that he does not like and then just sing so he would forgive me. Okay.
Right. It's like low hanging fruit, you know, just like go yeah. after that if that's your talent. There was also this question about, you know, her apology to you. We saw you have a bit of a conversation at Dr. Kendra's. Now, it's interesting, this conversation about an apology, because we've also seen it on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. There's been a lot of like, is Nene sincerely apologizing? So what was it that you were looking for mm-hmm. from Dr. Imani when she apologized? What was not genuine about it to you?
Well, I'm all about energy and I'm all about feeling people's sincerity because, I mean, anyone can say sorry, anyone can say anything, but if you don't feel it, if it doesn't feel sincere, then whatever they're saying kind of goes out of the door. You know, it's like me saying,
yeah.
it's like me saying, I'm not mad, but I have a total attitude written all over my face. And everything that I'm doing is very, you've got an attitude, but I'm saying I don't, you know, it depletes when you don't feel mm-hmm. that genuine, sincere apology. And to be honest, I did not feel that. There was a lot of things that were not shown that were happening behind the scenes, you know, with her and Leah, conversations that they had, comments that she's made. And for me, it's like, I mean, you're either sorry or you're not. And if I don't feel like it's genuine, I don't have to accept your apology. I don't.
Right, right. And I guess the difference is, too, from a viewer perspective, you know, we see these things unfold, but we don't necessarily understand the vibe in the room. So for someone like you who experienced it firsthand, an apology can feel very different than maybe it looks on TV.
That's a great point because, you know, she had a much different demeanor when we were in group settings. But whenever she was, you know, maybe not in front of me, but maybe with the other ladies, it was a whole different topic of conversation going on that I got word of. So, you know, I mean, when it feels right is when I go with it. I have to feel like it's sincere.
Yeah, of course. Now, what is your relationship like with her today? I know we're probably going to see more play out this season. There's still a lot more to come. But today, right now, how are the two of you?
I would say that we are mutual. We have mutual respect for each other. Now, I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt saying she has respect for me. I think that we're two different people. We're both very similar, to be honest. We both are very strong, driven, ambitious, educated women. I think that, you know, we're learning how to learn about each other, you know, because we have different ways of communicating and different things mean different things to each of us. So the way that I'm used to communicating in my love language is just, it's not the same as Imani's. And I have to respect that. And I'm trying to be the bigger person and just move forward. So I would say that we're working on things still. It's a journey to, you know, mesh two different people and come back from something that you feel like was very tarnishing.
Right, right. Of course. Dr. Imani also brings a plus one to the haunted hayride. So what did you think when you first saw Leah show up?
You know, it's interesting because Imani loves to play up on the fact that she's so much older than me and she's just so much more mature and well-versed in life, but yet she does something as childish as bring a plus one that we obviously don't get along with right now.
Right.
So when I saw her show up, I was like, okay, perfect. You're finally showing your true self. You're going to bring this girl. You're being messy. You guys are both just ready almost for war. I mean, you know what happened just recently at Kendra's housewarming party. Is this really the place to bring her? Like, do you think we're going to have fun together, honestly?
Right. Right. And not only did she bring her, but then the costume of choice was also a nod to what everyone was talking about at Dr. Kendra's. So,
you know, I have no words for you.
Well, when we see you and Leah, I think after the haunted hayride, you guys go out to the bar. Leah seems to think that you hold Shanique to a different standard because the two of you are so close. Do you feel like you do that at all?
No. I feel like the other ladies love to pick at our friendship. And to be quite frank, I think that they're a little envious of the sisterhood that we've taken the time to build with each other. There's been numerous occasions where I've lent my arm out trying to build a stronger bond between us, not just with Shanique, but they are resistant. And so this is what happens. I grow closer to someone and I trust them. And it may mean that I trust them a little more than them. So I don't know what Leah's talking about. Leah doesn't know what she's talking about. She just met me.
Right. Well, I was going to say, I think we've heard that from, I think, Dr. Imani, Dr. Britton, too. It's very often like Britton and Imani and then you and Shanique. So it's one thing for one of them maybe to say it, but for Leah, she doesn't really know you guys that well, so she might just be kind of grasping at straws there.
She absolutely is. I think she should take the time out to get to know me and form her own, you know, opinions and thoughts about whatever's happening. But at this point, I think that her words were pretty much handed to her from her best friend, Imani.
Right, right. And she's not looking at you as two separate individuals. She's kind of lumping you together, and that's not really fair.
I agree.
Speaking of Shanique, when she decided to switch careers this season, did you have any advice for her going through that process?
Yes. You know, Shanique has always been very independent. You know, she's working. She doesn't necessarily have to. Dr. Robert has no problem supporting her. But the career that she has now, she's not really able to build her own business in it. And I think for her, her wanting to change her career path is her wanting to have something of her own and something that she can create and build for her family. You know, she has a young daughter and a young son. And I think that for her, especially coming from Jamaica and just her culture, it's important that she build something you know, that's hers and not necessarily maybe working for a big corporation.
Right. Now, do you think that her husband could have been more supportive through the process? Because I think from what we've seen so far on the show, he has some reservations and it seems like this is something she really wants. And there's kind of a bit of a conflict there.
Okay, yeah. So I think that just with Dr. Robert being so resistant so quickly, it's a little, you know, it's kind of like a turnoff. You're super excited about something and you're like running to tell your best friend in a sense. And they're like, they're just not on the same energy wave. And so it kind of brings you high down and you're like, well, what the heck? So I think he could have had a better approach at wanting to have her be more prepared, you know, but my husband is very similar to him. So it was like, I understood Shanique, but I'm just so used to what Dr. Robert is saying and how he's going about it that I was like torn, you know?
Yeah, of course. Well, because with these situations, there's no real right or wrong answer. There's a lot of gray area when it comes to something like that. So it is easy, like on the outside, to be like, well, I think it should be like this. But when you're actually in those situations, it's very different. All right. Well, Jasmine, thank you so much for talking to me today. It was so much fun. I absolutely love the show. And stay safe, stay healthy, stay fit in quarantine.
Thank you, Eric. It's been my pleasure. And I had so much fun.
All right. Talk to you soon, Jasmine.
Okay, bye.
Should we talk about Real Housewives of New York?
Yes. Okay, so Newport, Rhode Island. I am from Rhode Island originally. And my dad and I actually used to vacation here all the time. We used to stay at this place called the Hotel Viking. And like, Megan, you know my dad. We are by no means bougie people whatsoever. But like, he has tattoos. He drives a Harley Davidson now. Like, we are just not those kind of people. But it was like our once a year sort of treat where we used to just go and stay at this like beautiful, enormous hotel that was like formerly a mansion, you know, and just like treat ourselves. So I was actually really excited to see like the wives running about in this cute little small rich beach town.
I love that you and your dad had like your own little trip you took. That's so sweet.
Yes, I know. I should like reinstitute that because I think that would be really fun.
I feel like all the stories you tell me about your dad reveal that you have a really good one.
Oh, I do. I do. I'll tell him that. It was just his birthday, too.
Happy birthday. So what are your thoughts on this whole Leah inviting her sister, Ramona saying yes, saying no, saying yes, saying no?
Can the rooms, like, fit two people in them?
What do you mean? You're looking for a man?
No, actually, my sister is a new mom, and I would really love to invite her.
No, this is a girl's trip.
She's got a 7-month-old baby.
No, we're not inviting.
I'd love to have her.
Why not?
Well, I'm not with the back and forth because that's just ridiculous. And, you know, you want to talk immature. That's immature. I understand where Ramona was coming from in that you plan for a trip, you invite all the people that you want, and then you can't help but have an idea in your head of how it's going to play out, who's going to be there, what the vibe is going to be like. And then all of a sudden on the way down, you know, somebody's like, hey, can my sister come? You know, that definitely throws things off. But also, like, Leah can kind of do whatever she wants, right? I mean, she doesn't really need to ask Ramona's permission.
Yeah, I guess I was always taught that you never invited someone on a, like, someone else's trip. Or like, even if I was going over to my friend Christy's house, my mom would say, you can't just go invite someone else to come with you. Like, then you're putting the hostess on the spot.
Right.
I do feel like Leah definitely did that because, you know, maybe they don't want a family trip. Maybe they just want, like, as Sonia says, when we say a girls trip, we mean this group of girls. We don't mean anyone else.
Well, also, you know, and we talked about Leah's sister last week and we love her and she rocks bangs and she's beautiful and she seems awesome. And I want to get to know her more. But also Leah was like, she has a baby. Is she bringing the baby?
No, I think this is supposed to be her getaway from the kid.
Okay. Cause I got confused for a second. I was like, well, if she's bringing a 7-month-old, like, no, like that's a hard no. Like, not around these ladies, not right now. No, please, please. But I guess if it's an escape, I totally get that. But yeah, it just, I don't know. The back and forth is really what drove me crazy because then,
well, yeah,
you know,
once Ramona said yes, she had an obligation to stick to that and not, you know, yank Leah around.
Right. What did you think of Leah's behavior?
They used to say about me that I was the gangster with the blonde hair and blue eye. This girl is like, she's another level. It's like 1 minute she's like, hey, how you doing? Then she's like, rah!
Put the chairs down now. We can put the chair down now.
My kind of girl.
I love drunk Leah. she's definitely crazy when she drinks, but I think in like a really, it's so fun to watch.
It's funny because I think Dorinda keeps saying, oh, Leah's like the new Dorinda. She's the new badass. She's the new tough one. But I think when Leah gets drunk, she's actually the new Sonia, right?
I definitely see both because Dorinda gets a little angry and Leah does too. I don't know. It's very funny and especially funny because it's like, whenever Ramona becomes shocked and dismayed by anyone's behavior, I find it hilarious.
Well, and it's so funny too, because we learn the following day, at least Luann suspects that Ramona doesn't remember anything either. So Ramona was like her own version of Blackout Wasted, which was just very different than Leah's version of Blackout Wasted.
I think that it's a really good theory and I can get behind it.
I'm choosing to believe it, whether it's true or not.
I think also what I observed this episode was how Tinsley and Leah are basically the same age, I think. And Dorinda treats them both very differently. Like where she says, you know, with Leah, she's a single mom or she's 20 years younger than us. We should be guiding her, not punishing her. But she does not give Tinsley that same benefit.
That's very true. And, you know, it's almost not only Dorinda, it's a little bit of everybody. And we see that in the beginning of the episode when they're planning, you know, they're all gathering to go on this trip and Tinsley shows up with her pillow and they all start like ripping into her about like, oh, baby, Tinsley needs her pillow and like all of this stuff. And she's like, oh, come on.
I love you. Bring your own pillow. You are such a child.
I have allergies.
I have my pillows too.
What am I going to do?
She's a baby. She's so rude.
I'm not because I'm a child, just because I can't sleep on other people's pillows.
Guys.
You know, I don't know if it's necessarily them just ganging up on her or if just the way Tinsley acts is more immature than the rest of them. I don't think Tinsley is immature by any means, but I don't know. There is a difference and maybe it does have something to do with being a mom. And that is the difference between her and Leah. And I hate to say that or bring that up because we know how sensitive of a subject it is for Tinsley. But I don't know what it's like. They're really close in age, but you're right. People treat them very differently.
Yeah, it's true.
I just wish Tinsley was bringing around strawberry and shortcake more often.
They're so cute.
They're so frigging cute. And everybody else is still, well, I guess they're not really around that much more than anyone else, but still. The other thing is too, are we invested in Elise and her role here on the show?
And are we supposed to be is the question.
Yeah, because I can't decide how I feel about her.
I also felt like it was such good shade when Ramona's like, I didn't invite your sister on this trip. And Leah's like, well, you invited Elise and you haven't talked to her the whole time.
But I didn't really want her to come.
She didn't want her to come, but I kind of talked her into it because she says
well,
that
wait, I'm going to vote tonight. I did not. I can rescind.
You invited Elise. Excuse and you're not even talking to her.
Right. I mean, they'd only been there for a little while, but, and she is Ramona's friend, right? Like Ramona is the one who brought her in to the group.
Yes, I believe so. It seems like she knows all of them a little bit.
Yeah. It's the whole thing with her and Leah too, that we saw in this episode. Like I can't decide if Elise is kind of that voice of reason and the one who's supposed to be saying it like it is, almost like an Erica Jane, you know, saying it like it is and leaving emotions out of it. But I don't know if that really vibes with this group because they are all emotion. You know, I think Luann is almost the voice of reason in a lot of instances this season, which, you know, has not always been the case. I also got the chance to speak with Danica Dow from Vanderpump Rules, and we talked a little bit about being a newbie this season, what it was like filming the first virtual reunion for Vanderpump Rules, and because she's such a badass, we played a little game of Never Have I Ever. Spoiler alert, I think I won. Here's that interview. All right, guys, we are here with Danica Dow from Vanderpump Rules. What's going on, Danica?
Hi.
Not much, you know, just still being quarantined and coming up with new hobbies every single day.
Right. Okay. So what is your latest hobby?
I actually just went to a nursery yesterday and got a bunch of plants. And so today I'm going to like fully pot all the plants. So
oh my God.
I'm turning into a plant lady.
A plant lady. I mean, that's better than a cat lady, I guess, right?
Oh, definitely. I love plants. They make me so happy. So I'm loving this new hobby that I have.
That's great. I mean, I have a bunch of plants in my apartment too, and I honestly think they improve the air quality. So you're just going to be like breathing fresh all the time now.
Oh yeah, I'm so excited.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the finale. So at the Tom Tom anniversary party, we see you and Kara, the server from Vegas, clash. So what are your thoughts on her? What was your first impression when you met her?
Well, obviously I thought the same as everybody else. Like she's a mini Sheena, but yeah. I also just didn't really understand the hype. Like, because who, like, no offense to Sheena, but who wants to look like Sheena from 10 years ago? I mean, that style is kind of, you know, old. So I don't know if that's necessarily a compliment to her that she looks like the old Sheena, but, you know, do you, girl. Right. And I also actually had no idea that she hooked up with Max or even that she was involved with the OG cast at all in one of the episodes. I just thought that she was a random girl from Vanderpump Vegas that nobody knew.
Yeah.
And I mean, when I watched it back, I don't feel like I was that much in the wrong. You know, I was just trying to tell her to get out of their face because they were having a conversation. And I felt like a weird energy that like Ariana didn't want her there. So I don't know. I don't feel like I was super in the wrong. I mean, she came up to me afterwards, and what actually like wasn't shown is she was doing some weird voodoo hand gestures in my face.
What?
And then that's when I like snapped at her and pushed her out of the way. Yeah, it was so weird. It was so freaky. That girl is so weird.
Wait, what do you mean voodoo? So was she like casting a spell on you? Like what was happening?
I don't know. She came up to me, and this is after I walked away and was like, that girl's so freaky. And then she came up to me because she saw me talking about her, and she had like her, you know, like when your pointer finger is like attached to your thumb and then like the three fingers are like up in the air and you like put them over your eyes. She
oh,
was
yeah.
doing that and doing, and then like trying to put it on my eyes. And I don't even know. It was so weird. I've never met a person like her. She's weird. So, I mean, I probably shouldn't have pushed her in Tom Tom, but I have like a problem. I've been working on it, but it's hard when people are antagonizing me for me to just walk away. Like, I applaud Raquel for being able to have somebody in her face saying rude stuff or, you know, anything that you don't agree with or you don't like, and have me just, you know, turn a blind eye and walk away from it. It's really hard for me to do that, but I've been working on it. I mean, there was a lot of lessons learned this season.
I mean, that was going to be my next question. Like, looking back on the season, do you have any regrets about your behavior? Not just from that night, but just everything else that you saw play out on the show.
No, not I mean, the only thing that I could maybe regret this entire season is not accepting Dana at the very beginning, because her and I are just so close now. And she's honestly one of my best friends and I love her. And that would be like my only thing, is that I didn't give her a fair chance in the beginning. Therefore, our friendship was put on hold until probably about halfway through the season.
Yeah.
But as far as like my behavior and everything, I mean, I went through a lot this season, and you know, it's just like a blessing in disguise and a lesson learned. I don't usually have many regrets.
Because what's the point, you know, at a certain
right.
point? It's like, it happened.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how you got your start at Sur? Because I think it even comes up during this season that you are pretty young to be a manager. So can you talk a little bit about your history there?
Yeah. I mean, I got a job as a hostess. So I started as a hostess at Sur randomly. A friend of a friend knew one of the hostesses and told me that they had an opening and that I needed to run over to Sur right now because the owners were going on vacation. And at the time, I only knew that it was Lisa and Ken. I didn't know that there was Natalie and Guillermo and all of that. So I was very uneducated about that. And I was actually at a barbecue around the corner from Sur, and they were like, if you want the job, you have to go by right now. So I literally went straight from a barbecue to Sur. And I guess Natalie and Guillermo were the ones going on vacation and they had already left. And so I had to do an interview with Diana, and she kind of just hired me on the spot. And so I started as a hostess there. Even though I had many years of serving experience, I also had another job at the time. So I didn't really care to be a hostess. So I kind of was overqualified for that position in the first place, I think. I would have obviously rather have been a server. And then one day, one of our assistant managers had left and Natalie promoted me.
Wow. So when in that whole journey did you meet Lisa Vanderpump for the first time?
I met her, I think, a month and a half afterwards, because I know she was super busy around that time. I think she was going through something or was somewhere. And I met her a month and a half after I started working there for the first time. And, you know, my mom loves Lisa Vanderpump. She's always watched Real Housewives and stuff. So she's like, when are you going to meet her? When are you going to meet her? I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I literally have not seen this lady.
Right.
And then she started coming in. Right. So then she started coming in more frequently. I don't even think Lisa knew my name for the first 6 months, because I swear I think she called me Denise one time. And then I think she called me Diana one time too. I think she couldn't like figure out that my name was actually Danica for a while.
She's close.
And then when I got promoted to manager, we obviously got to know each other a lot better, because we had to talk one-on-one and stuff like that.
Right. Would you ever want to work at one of her other restaurants?
I don't know. I mean, the only other restaurant I would work at would probably be Tom Tom. I think, you know, Villa Blanca is not really my speed, and Pump is full of a bunch of gay men, which I love. But I think that the only other restaurant that's, you know, is fast paced and out there as Sir would be Tom Tom.
Yeah. Now you say like Pump is all gay men. Do you see like the employees from each restaurant? Is there like a difference between the groups, or like an identifier for each one? Not a stereotype, but you know what I mean? Like a specific kind of person who works at each one?
Not necessarily, actually. I think we have two servers at Sir right now that came from Pump. So it's kind of just a blend of everything. But I love going to Pump. I think that with Tom Tom and Sir employees, that's kind of their like meeting ground. Because, you know, it's right in the middle of both restaurants. And it's just...
Yeah.
It's just the best restaurant to go to, you know, after a shift or for brunch or whatever, you always think to go to Pump. And I don't know if it's because Pump isn't really affiliated with the show whatsoever, so it's kind of a breath of fresh air, or it's just everyone that works there is just so nice. Like, all of the guys that work there are incredible. They're so nice. The drinks are amazing. And I always have such great service there. So I love Pump. I rave about it all the time.
And have you been to the Vegas Cocktail Garden?
You know, I haven't. I was just in Vegas in December with Sheena, and we just ended up walking right by it because we were in a hurry to go somewhere else. So we didn't stop in, but we definitely walked by. And I, you know, obviously made a joke like, oh, I wonder if Kara's working. To go say hi.
Right. Well, you know, there's so much to do in Vegas. You can't do everything you want to do in one trip. So next time.
Right. But next time I go there, I will definitely stop by. Now that I've seen it on TV and I'm like, oh, wow, it looks a lot like Tom Tom.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous. I definitely want to go by.
Well, see if you can sit in Kara's section.
Yo, definitely. You know, I'll be requesting that at the front.
Right. So a big storyline this season, you know, is the whole love triangle between Brett, Dana, Max. What was your take on it? Especially because you weren't as close with Dana in the beginning, but then you guys did get closer halfway through. At what point in that love triangle did you really get close with her?
I think it was right before she was interested in Brett, a little bit before her birthday. We just hung out a lot during that time. And we both are Leos, so we both don't really have a filter. And there was just one time where she just completely opened up to me about her mom and about how hurt she was from Max. And she did say that I was right the whole time. She shouldn't have done it. So, you know, and then also I opened up to her about the relationship issues that I was having, and something about that conversation. It was one night after we were folding napkins at Sir that we just completely fell in love with each other. And I think since then on, we've just been super close. And I mean, but the love triangle, if I had to make a comment on that, I obviously am not a huge fan of Max. And it's not that he's a bad person or anything. It's just that he's been with so many of either people that I know, people that I work with, or just my friends in general. And it's like, I just kind of got sick of hearing about it. And so when I heard that there was some like random girl that I've never met before now squeezing into the schedule at Sir because she's dating Max and had to get moved over, that was just kind of like, okay, this isn't going to last, because I know it's not going to last, you know, and now we're going to have this new server that we don't have shifts for. So that was kind of my mindset in the beginning. And you know, and then when it came to Brett, I actually really love Brett. We have gotten super close over the past couple months, but I kind of just knew that that one wasn't going to last either. I mean, he is still in love with his ex, absolutely. And, you know, after Dana's birthday, we did go and hang out with one of my friends who he was trying to have something with. So it was just like, why are you doing this on, like, what's your motive for this? Are you trying to get back at Max? Are you trying to make him jealous? Or are you actually interested?
Right.
From my point of view, it was like he was just skimming along. Like, are we, like, we're just friends, but then telling her otherwise, which is what she has a history of bringing in.
Right. Well, and then outside of the love triangle, there was sort of this fourth person involved, and that was Sheena. So do you feel like she was stirring the pot at all in that situation?
I feel like Sheena's very territorial of her friends. It's either her way or the highway. And although I don't think that it was necessarily 100% a jealousy issue, I 100% think it was a territorial issue. And even if her and Max are friends or were friends at that point, it's like she didn't want any reason for Dana to be closer to him than she was.
Yeah.
Or is, for that matter.
Right. Yeah. I remember speaking to Sheena earlier when the season kind of first started, and she was like, well, it was more of like the fact that Dana was kind of swooping in and taking away some of my friends. Like, it was more on like a personal, you know, friendship front than necessarily a romantic one.
And I do completely agree with that. And that's, I think, where the territorial thing comes in at. So I think it's whether she hooked up with that person or not. It's like she wants to be the one who is like considered their best friend. Because, you know, she calls everyone else her best friend. She wants it to be the other way around, like, so bad.
Totally. I mean, I feel like Sheena's my best friend. Like, I'm just going to put that out there.
I mean, Sheena is my best friend, so I can't say that. Like, I'll tell you you're my best friend. I'll tell you you're one of my best friends if that's going to make you super happy.
Yeah. Well, so, okay, so you're very close with Sheena. Let's go back to the beginning of filming when you met all of the OGs. Who was the most welcoming to you?
Out of the OGs that I wasn't friends with before, I mean, Ariana was very, very welcoming to me, but her and I were kind of friends beforehand. Like, I would see her around, we'd say hi, but we didn't like have each other's phone numbers and like hang out outside of me just seeing her randomly. So she was very welcoming. I love Ariana. I think she's great. And I think that that was probably the nicest person that was welcoming to me. Everyone else was kind of in their own little thing, but I totally get it.
Was there anyone you were particularly intimidated by?
No, not at all.
I feel like you don't get easily intimidated. So
no, I mean, I don't care. Like, the thing is that, you know, right when we started the show, I would see a lot of like articles and a lot of backlash and talk about, oh, we don't welcome the new people in. Like, we have such a tight knit circle and, you know, it's hard to become our friend. And I would read that stuff and I'm like, I'm not trying to become your friend, you know, like, I know that I'm on the same show as you, but like, if I got, you know, brought onto the show to try to fit into your guys' circle, then you have the wrong person, because that's not who I am. If it ends up happening randomly from us, you know, going to the same birthday parties and hanging out like that, then so be it. But in no way, shape, or form did I come into this being like, all right, I have to try to be friends with these people and these people, because that's just so not my style whatsoever.
Right. Well, it's like, it's hard to try to strategize on how to become friends with somebody. It just kind of has to happen naturally.
Yeah, like my friendships with people aren't calculated at all. And, you know, me being on the show wasn't going to change that.
Yeah.
But I have gained, you know, I've gotten closer with James and Raquel. Like, I was friends with them before. So things like that, that like bring us closer together, I'm all for it. It brought me and Sheena closer together. I'm closer with Ariana. I love Tom Sandoval. You know, we're all a little bit, you know, closer, but as far as everybody else goes, it's just, we just don't know each other like that. And if it doesn't happen, then I'm completely okay with that.
Right. Totally. Well, I do want to talk a little bit about Raquel and James. So since Raquel started working at Sir, how have you seen her change over the last year or so?
Okay. I love Raquel so much. She is so funny. She actually has such a comedic side to her, and it shows at work so much. I think it's because she is just independent at work and she's not next to James all the time. So we have great conversation and she's always smiling. The guests love her. She's actually, and I'm going to get hated for this, but she's the best, newest server that we have out of everybody. She is such a great server. She's really, really good at time management and multitasking, and she's just so sweet and so nice that, you know, how could you hate her? But she also has a sassy side too that no one knows. Like, she has a sassy side and she has attitude. It's like it's coming out slowly but surely, but I've seen it so many times.
Right. Well, I mean, I've always been a fan of Raquel's, and even last season, I was just like always saying how I thought she was so funny and so cute. And I do think over the course of this season, we really have seen her really grow and blossom and stand her ground in so many ways that we didn't see before. And it's great to see as a viewer. So I love to hear that from you too, as her friend, and how you've seen the change in her too.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I've seen her and James just like completely blossom, because I was friends with James probably like a year before I was on the show. But as a friend, I never got the bad side of him ever. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when he, you know, completely went sober, it was definitely eye-opening for me. But then I ended up seeing, you know, the past like come forward. And then it kind of dawned on me like, oh, that's why he's sober now. Like, I totally get it now, because I never really understood before. And now I have a better understanding. And it just makes me like emotional, because I just have seen him and Raquel in such a different light. And they're just such great people.
Yeah. Well, even in the finale episode, we learn about his mother and her sobriety and what she survived. And I mean, I got extremely emotional watching that. So I can only imagine.
Yeah.
As a friend of his, how you must have reacted in that moment.
Oh, definitely. I don't know much about his, you know, family and his mom and stuff, but besides what I've seen and like little bits of, you know, hearsay stuff, but
yeah,
I think it's great. And what people actually don't know about James is that one of his best friends is sober now too. And that was like his buddy. They'd go out together and get wasted all the time together. And then when James went sober, his best friend finally got help as well. And now they're both sober, and people don't know that. So James was such a positive and big influence on one of his best friends. And still to this day, they're both sober.
That's amazing. No, that's great to know. I mean, that's how it has to happen. You need that kind of support in a lot of ways. So to be able to go through it together like that, I think is really powerful.
Yeah. And him and, you know, his best friend, they both have huge personalities, and they're both, you know, kind of crazy. And so even, you know, them sober, they're both still so fun and so great. Like, they didn't lose that like spunk that they have. It just, if anything, made them better. So I love that for the both of them.
Yeah, James Kennedy will always be James Kennedy. That's for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, now tell us, what is your current relationship status?
I'm in a relationship. Yeah, I'm dating Brett Willis. Still.
Okay.
Yeah, we got back together. We were slowly but surely working on our issues throughout the season. And then a couple weeks before the finale, we officially got back together. And in December, we took a little break for a couple months because some, you know, stuff happened. And then we recently got back together fully in February. And we've been pretty good ever since.
Well, congratulations. And I'm sure, are you guys quarantined together at the moment?
Yeah, well, he doesn't live with me, but he's basically here every single night. So we're basically quarantined together.
Yeah.
About 80%. Okay.
Well, this is the true test for relationships right now anyway. So if you guys can get through this, you're probably going to be good.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think we've gotten annoyed of each other once. I mean, he's reaping all the benefits. I just cook and clean and all this stuff all the time. He's probably loving life, honestly.
Right. He's not going to want anything to change.
Oh, I know. He's probably getting anxiety that it's about to end soon. And he's like, wait, what am I going to do? How am I going to cook dinner? Am I going to clean?
How do I do it?
Yeah, well, no, seriously.
The reunion is coming up, and I know it was your first reunion, but also very different being a, you know, virtual style. So what can you tease about the reunion? Was there anything that surprised you?
Yeah, you know, there was something that just surprised me, or I guess someone, you know, I guess you could call it a little betrayal that happens that I'm absolutely not okay with. So that's kind of like a bomb that got dropped that is very interesting. So that'll be exciting to see back. And then besides that, it was very emotional. It was really emotional. I felt like towards the end, there was just, everyone was just feeling so many emotions where it got very sentimental rather than, you know, argumental. So it was very, very interesting. I feel like maybe if we were in person, it would have been a lot different. We probably would have been screaming at each other and, you know, going crazy. But since it was pretty much on Zoom, we had no choice but to, you know, sit down, take a breath, and wait for our turn to talk. which was really hard for me actually, because I'm used to like talking over everybody. I need what I want to say to come out, and I need it to come out now kind of thing. So I had to wait to say a lot of the things that I wanted to say, but I think that it was great. For my first reunion, I wasn't expecting it to be that awesome. I feel like with the time that we had, everyone really got to talk about everything that they wanted to talk about. So that's my opinion on it, besides the one little factor of the sneaky bitch.
Ooh, okay. So that, now I know it's a female then who must have done something to you.
Not necessarily, but that's, I mean, true. We'll see.
Okay, well, I'll keep my eyes peeled for that. And I know the second that I see it, I'm going to know exactly what you're talking about. So I can't wait for that.
Exactly. And I'm not saying it was to me or anything like that. There was just someone that did something and they sucked for that.
Interesting. Okay. All right. I'm gonna keep my eyes open for that. Before you go, I do want to play a game. Never have I ever, because you are, you know, one of the wilder ones on the show, I think, this season. And you've gotten into your, you know, fill of trouble. So I want to play a little game of Never Have I Ever, because I feel like I always lose at this game, but I think, you know, you might lose before me. I don't know. So let's do just like three fingers up. Because I feel like, okay, you know, between the two of us, we're gonna get out. So I'll go first because I have one lined up already that I think is going to get you out, but it's a little unfair. Never have I ever had the famous fried goat cheese balls.
Oh, God. Okay. I have.
Okay. So you're done too, right?
Yeah.
All right. Your turn.
Never have I ever had sex in a public place.
Oh, damn it. Okay. We won't say how public. Also, this came up in my conversation with Sheena when I interviewed her a few months ago, and she confessed that she and her current boyfriend hooked up at Disneyland. I was like, what?
Oh my God, no yeah. way.
Uh-huh, so I don't know the details of that.
That doesn't surprise me much at all.
No, me neither. Okay, I'm down to 2-2. All right, let me do the next one. Never have I ever hooked up with a girl.
Depends on how far you mean, but I'll just put my finger down anyways, because I feel like it was far enough.
I've definitely made out with girls. Like in college, there was a lot of like making out, but nothing more than that.
Okay. Then I'll put my finger down.
Okay. All right. Fair.
Oh, I have like a stupid one. This one's just so dumb that that me and my boyfriend were talking about the other day that he was like shocked about. Never have I ever seen a snake in person.
Really?
Yeah.
God, not like even at the zoo in one of those weird little like jungle houses.
Well, a wild snake, like on the ground wild. As you're hiking or something like that.
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay, I've seen one. Well, I guess it's good you being in LA, you haven't seen a snake, because there are rattlesnakes up in those hills when you're hiking runyons. So that's a good thing.
I hike a lot and I was at a hike and I was like, I've never seen like a wild snake. My boyfriend's like, there's no way. I'm like, I swear I've never seen a wild snake.
You would know if you had. Like, you would remember.
I would know. So that one was stupid, but that one's funny.
No, that's a good one. Okay, so I'm down to 1-2. Are you down to 1?
Yeah.
All right. Next one. Never have I ever seen a cast member of Vanderpump Rules naked.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I lost.
Well, so you don't count. Yourself doesn't count. So who have you seen naked?
Oh, I mean, I've seen Sheena and Dana naked a bunch of times.
Okay, those are my two guesses, actually.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've seen both of them naked at least 5 times each.
Right, of course. Oh, my God, amazing. Well, thank you so much,
Danica. So I guess I lost.
Yeah, I think you lost. I won, but I only won by 1, so it's totally fine.
Yeah, true.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. It was so fun.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I loved it.
Of course, yeah. We're looking forward to the reunion and, you know, hang in there with you and your man and enjoy the rest of quarantine.
Thank you so much. You too.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
All right, let's talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yay.
Santa Barbara edition.
So actually, as much as I have a connection to Newport, Rhode Island, I have a connection to Santa Barbara too.
Okay, what is it?
Well, I used to live in California, obviously, we all know that. But most of my family is here on the East Coast. Like, they have never ventured further. You know, I am the one who went away, and like some of my cousins and whatnot. But my dad had one brother who moved to California when he was really, really young. And he unfortunately passed away a few years ago. But my aunt and like cousins who live out there live in the Santa Barbara area. So I used to visit them when I lived in California. And it's so beautiful. And like the wine is incredible. And it's just like, it is really, really a magical place.
Just when I thought you couldn't get whiter, you talk about your trips to Newport, Santa Barbara.
I know. I'm like, Megan, I swear I'm not bougie. And then I'm like, except I really enjoy going to Newport and I really enjoy Santa Barbara.
Well, I feel like we didn't mention it last week, but we need to talk about the ending of last week's episode. And I see that you wrote it down too, but how Kyle sort of said to Erica, you know, why are you attacking me and Teddy's friendship? Is it because you don't have friends?
Why is that weird?
Because
you don't have good friends?
I actually do have good friends. And I actually consider you to be one of them.
Oh my God, a low blow, Kyle.
So low. And just mean, because you know that probably is something that's sensitive to for Erica. You know what I mean? Like, she is always surrounded by these men, and like, she's not someone who necessarily, she said on the show, like, she's not someone who has a lot of girlfriends.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she and Mikey have one of the best relationships that we've seen, you know, on Bravo shows. I mean, it's consistent. They have genuine love for each other. They have fun together. Like, we know Erica has friends. Kyle should know that too.
Well, and she thought she always considered Kyle one of them.
Right. That being said, cut to before Denise shows up in Santa Barbara, and what Erica says to me was way out of line. When she mentioned, like, if her daughters hadn't already or haven't already had a threesome.
I think if your 14-year-old daughter is asking you, Mom, what is a threesome or why were you guys talking about that? That is what's going to jar her.
They already know if they haven't had one already.
Oh! And I was like, oh my God. I was like, number one, kids are off limits. And we know this, and Erica should know this because of her demon possession moment in Hong Kong when her voice changed and she freaked out on Eileen.
You don't know what I go through at night.
I mean, remember when we saw that in the super tease for that season and we were all like, what the hell is that about? And so, you know, Erica has kept her son and that part of her life pretty private until fairly recently. You know, she posted a picture of him on Instagram not that long ago. And so just like for her to talk about Denise's kids that way just seemed very even out of character for her.
I agree. I feel like she was trying to be racy, but how it came across was just like, don't talk about someone's kids like that, you know? Like, yeah. Different for Lisa Rinna to talk about her own daughters and to be like, the whole drama right now about like who was out of line in terms of, you know, Denise's kids and stuff. I just appreciate Lisa Rinna's point of view on things, which is, yeah, it's horrifying to think about my daughters giving blowjobs, but I'm also a realistic person who realizes that that is just what happens in life. Like, sex happens.
Right, totally. I mean, I love Rinna. You know I love Rinna, but also... For her to talk...
She's talking about her own daughter, so I think it's different.
It's different, but it's also a little bit of, like, stop trying to be the cool mom. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Delilah and Amelia, they're just a little bit edgier, I think, than maybe Denise's daughters in a lot of ways, just from what we've seen and, like, my impressions of them. And so I don't know. I think it's different. It's just weird to me, too, that Rinna would be kind of proud of, like, well, my daughters learned how to give a blowjob from me. It's like, it's like your daughters probably don't want you telling people that, you know? I mean, I guess they did actually mention it on the show themselves. But I don't know. It's just... It's so weird. And then for everyone to assume like, oh, Denise's daughters have definitely watched Wild Things.
Yeah.
Who wants to watch their mom naked making out with people in a movie? Like, I don't think anyone would actually want to watch that.
Well, and I think Denise really brought up a good point, which is that she's like, I have played these sexy characters, so I have to constantly explain to people that that's not real life.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of, and like just, you know, because she was married to Charlie Sheen, people would assume certain things about her. And she's just like, that's not accurate.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, just because you look the part of like sexy bombshell, whatever, like doesn't mean that's who you are or who you are in every moment. Like she probably can be, and we know she can be, behind closed doors with Aaron. You know, she talks about their sex life openly in what she views as the right situation. So we know she can be and is a sexual person. It's just like not when her kids are sitting at the table next to them, you know?
And let me tell you, I relate to it. Like the amount of times I've had to say to people, I know I look so sexy and highly sexualized, but like, that's not me, you know?
Right, exactly. What I thought was funny too about Denise is we got, I think, some major foreshadowing when she did talk about what we keep private, what goes on behind closed doors, what everyone chooses to reveal. Like, that seemed like something that not is going to come back and bite her in the ass, but that's sort of what they're setting up.
People don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but we have to put on a brave face.
Yeah, and also just the fact that she was very quick to shut down that dinner conversation.
Yeah.
And so then I feel like at the end, you, like, I just because you're already like, ugh, Renna, what did you think about the very end where she's like, well, Denise, didn't your daughters, don't they know about the prostitutes? Wasn't that what she said? It was something crazy like that.
Yeah, well, I think she said hookers, which I don't think is
right.
Like,
yes.
I don't think that's a PC term anymore. I think the term is sex workers is what we're supposed to use. I thought that was really messy. And Renna has a tendency to get very messy. And this was an example of that. And it's not up to Renna, regardless of whether or not Denise has had this conversation with her kids. But also, they're children. They're not adults. It'd be one thing for Denise to take her kids aside when they're 18 and be like, look, remember that woman that your father brought to Thanksgiving, you know, 10 years ago, however long ago it was. Here's what it really happened. Here's what it was really about. But at this point, Denise has probably worked really hard to protect her kids from the ugly things that happen in the world or the things that might be happening with their own father, you know? So it's just like, it's not up to anybody else to tell Denise to have those conversations. It's up to her. And I don't blame her for maybe hiding that from her kids.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that I'm necessarily like on Denise's side about all of this, but I do see where she's coming from.
Well, I'm curious to know too, separate from this whole Denise issue, the problems that Kyle is having with Dorit and Teddy, because I know you love Dorit, but I know you also, you know, love Kyle and Teddy. But like, where do you stand on this whole trifecta situation?
I think like this is one of those things where I'm like, is this about what it's about? Because if all that they're saying is Kyle, you and Teddy are super close, which seems to be what they're saying, and Kyle keeps being like, that's not true, I'm close with everyone. That's a stupid argument. Obviously, you're closest with Teddy. We see that.
Yeah. I mean, is there really something more going on between Dorit and Kyle that we're not seeing? Because Teddy's point is like, leave me out of it. Like, if you have a problem with how close Kyle is to me, then you as Kyle's friend need to talk to her about that. You know, it's just like, I'm not really sure what Dorit is so upset about, you know, or what she wants out of the situation. Is it just for Kyle to admit how close she is to Teddy? And if so, then, I mean, Kyle should pretty much admit to that.
Yeah.
The whole therapy thing, too, is so weird. Like, they haven't gone to couples therapy. They did, like, an anxiety breathing workshop together, you know?
I have to say, I 1,000% agree. And both Erica and Jerry acted like, no, you were at couples therapy. That's not what couples therapy is.
No. I mean, and even if they did go to therapy together for some reason to work on their friendship, you know, maybe that would be a little bit weird, but we've seen the footage back. We know that that wasn't what they were doing. They both have anxiety. Kyle has had anxiety since the second we met her. It's season one, you know? I mean, she's lived with this her whole life. So it's nothing new. I'm just surprised that people are harping on it so much. Should we do Rose and Thorn?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
It was absolutely us getting a little look at Andy Cohen's son, Ben, at the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion.
Don't come for me, little Ben, unless I send for you.
Oh, that was really, really cute. I feel like he needed to bring Ben in to just, like, calm the situation down for a moment.
What must Ben's life be like? You know what I mean? Like, you even see him looking in the camera, like all of these like well-dressed women and just like, oh, there's so many. Like,
right.
It's really funny.
It's going to be so interesting to watch him grow up and just see the older he gets, how he continues to interact with the housewives and other Bravo celebrities. You know, it's just going to be so crazy.
What was your rose?
My rose is from Married to Medicine LA, and it is Dr. Imani's Black Panther Halloween costume, because I love Black Panther. It's probably my favorite Marvel movie of recent times anyway. But also in the episode, I love, love, love when they do the like GoPro cameras and send people through haunted houses. It's just one of my favorite things to watch, is like just seeing people get so scared.
So I love it. It's my favorite thing.
Oh my God, it's so good. And it's just, I love Halloween so much. You know how much I care about Halloween. So it just got me really excited for October.
Have you watched Scare Tactics? It's on Netflix right now.
Well, I used to watch it back in the day. I think it used to be on Sci-Fi or something.
Yes, with Tracy Morgan. So it's on Netflix now. And I make everyone that I know watch it because it's so good.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm going to check it out. What was your thorn?
Okay, so my thorn was from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and it was Denise being like, and by the way, Kyle, you made a comment about my ice sculpture. Well, my daughter Eloise picked out that ice sculpture.
Oh.
And I just also want to say, as far as the ice sculpture, that's something Eloise picked out. She picked out a shape, and, you know, it was something we wanted to do for her.
I just felt like, you're just trying to make someone feel bad, like extra bad about something that they're already apologizing for. It just was a little much. It's laying it on a little thick, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Eloise was like, I would like an ice sculpture, Mom. Like, I think Denise chose to get one and she helped pick it out. So it was a little bit over the top for that moment. I saw what Denise was trying to do there, and I think it worked.
Right.
My thorn is also from Married to Medicine LA, and it's Dr. Roberts' attitude towards Shanique and her career change. Like, this has come up a few times, not just on Married to Medicine LA, but on, you know, Married to Medicine Atlanta, when, you know, a woman wants to go and make her career change, and then not the hoops that her husband will put her through, but it's just like, not a lack of support, but just less enthusiasm than you would hope from a partner if you want to do something that is going to change, you know, your career, your life, how things run in your household. But I just feel like there's an opportunity for him to be a little bit more excited for Shanique because it's something she's excited about.
Next week, we have an interview with Malia White from Below Deck Med. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.